Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar tonight. We have a full house tonight. I am honored to have back on the show GNL Guitars. We're going to talk about and go into more depth of their newest model, the Doheny, which is a great guitar. And one of the things we noticed on the first show, or at least I did, was everybody that came down to the show, I invited a bunch of guitar players, and we got a great group tonight too, was that everybody liked that guitar. And they were all saying, this is great, this works, I can use this. And they're all different styles of music. So one guy was in the prog rock, one was into punk music, one was straight rock, vintage rock. Jazz fusion and jazz, and everybody liked the guitar, which to me is a good sign, because if we look at the history of Fender, that's what happened with, like, for example, the Strat. The Strat was used from everything from jazz to country to rock to whatever. So what I wanted to do tonight is get into more depth about this guitar, which they're going to be showing at NAMM. And also, too, I have a bunch of guitar players here of all different types of styles, to have them come in and play these guitars and show you them in different contexts so that you can see, and then also get their comments, you know, what they think of the guitars, and which right now they're all playing. There's like three Dohenys here, and the other ones are out in the front room, and the guitarists are all switching around playing them. So I want to welcome, first of all, the GNL crew, David McLaren and David Brown. Thanks again for coming on the show. It's great to have you back.
Hey, it's our pleasure.
Thank you.
And before we get into the guitar, I have a special guest, and I met the son of this lady that's here tonight, Tabitha, and I met him after the first show, so I couldn't bring him because we were doing the history of Leo Fender. And Tabitha Moreno, at the time, was Tabitha Hernandez. She worked with Leo Fender from 1953 to 1954. So, Tabitha, if you have one of those guitars at home, they're worth thousands and thousands of dollars. But I wanted to bring her in because she had worked with Leo Fender, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Tabitha. What I wanted to ask you, just tell us a little bit about working with Leo Fender.
When I used to work at Fender's, I'm very proud, and I feel like crying just to think about it. But I used to do sanding.
So you sanded the...
I sanded the guitars, yes.
And you were saying before the show that he was very picky. You had to do it just right.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, but was he... How was it to work with him? It must have been amazing, because, I mean...
It was... really, really good. They were nice to us. They were caring right away. They got me a stool because we were standing mm-hmm. and sending, but they got me a stool so that I could sit down and
And Sand. That's great. But did you realize at the time that you were making history, those guitars?
No, sir, no. If I would have, I would have probably bought me one.
yes, because I'm trying to remember the Fender history. Was that the time of the Broadcaster, 53?
Thereabouts, a little bit.
And became the No-Caster. Yeah. I mean, all those rare guitars, that's when that was happening, when mm-hmm. he was just talking mm-hmm. to the country western people. And you worked over, you were off of State College. I think it pretty much, it's a new building now where G&L is on Fender Avenue, but I think that's where...
That was on Raymond, a corner of Raymond and Valencia in Fullerton. It's about a mile yeah. from where we are.
Okay, but she said, that's where you were, Raymond?
Yes, sir.
So that was so it was just nearby. So that's great. That's amazing. Any other story you want to tell us about?
No, just that I was real happy working there.
Well, that's great.
And I would probably do it again if I could.
Hey, you guys, if you need a sander. No, I'm just kidding. No, I just want to thank you for coming down. God bless you. It's great to have you down here, and it's an honor to have you on the show because you're part of that history. And
I'm happy to be.
It's great. So anyway, thank you so much. Okay, we got to get into the we have a lot to cover today. And let's talk more about the Doheny. You had mentioned before on the other show how Fender kept tinkering and trying to make everything better and always trying to improve the instrument. And you did some major changes. You know, people look at the body shape, well, that looks like, you know, it looks like a Jazzmaster, but there's much more to it. Let's go a little bit into that, if you can. Because I know you've done some major work on the pickups, and I love that bridge. That bridge is just great, because that was always a criticism of the other one. It would wobble too much.
Right. During Leo's time at G&L, the early G&Ls didn't really look like anything that he'd done before. He wanted function to be very modern, but also he wanted the look to be very modern. Mm-hmm. But in the 1980s, I think particularly his sales department was thinking, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we took some of these technologies that Leo had developed, like the magnetic field design pickup, dual fulcrum vibrato, a saddle lock bridge, what if we apply these things to more traditional forms? Mm-hmm. You know, popular things. You can't blame anybody for thinking that would be a cool idea. Let's have like a Stratocaster style instruments, but let's take his technology and apply it to that. Mm-hmm. A Telecaster, those things have been done. Mm-hmm. But many people over the years had asked us, hey, why don't you do a Jazzmaster style guitar? And we kind of left it for a long time to do, in part because we thought, well, if Leo were going to do this, what would Leo do? Because towards the end, he'd kind of relented a little bit on the styling. He was really about the function. So if you guys want it to look like a familiar shape, okay, that's cool. But we thought, we don't want to come out with this and just make another copy. There's a lot of people making copies, and Fender makes really nice Jazzmasters. So if we were going to do this, we have to really bring something to the party. It has to be special, and it has to be something that we think if we showed it to Leo, you know, he'd scratch his head for a moment. And then if he gives us that little grin, then it'd be cool. Mm-hmm. So we figured, okay, first and foremost, he's going to expect that one of his modern bridges was on it. And so we thought the dual fulcrum vibrato, it does work quite a lot better than his earlier designs. The mechanical engineering of that was quite a big improvement. His passive treble bass system, where you have a volume control, of course, and then you have a treble and a bass control that work on global, as you say, mm-hmm. sort of like on all pickups. He would like to see that on there. But then the biggest deal would be the pickups. We knew that if we're going to do a jazz type of guitar, the pickups should look like jazz pickups. And we thought, okay, if we were going to do this, as he'd done with like our Telecaster-shaped pickups in the ASAC Classic or the Stratocaster-shaped pickups in the S500 guitar, familiar sort of form factor, right. He would expect, okay, you guys have used the magnetic field design technology, that was Leo's technology of the 80s, and apply that to a Jazzmaster pickup. We thought, well, that sure sounds easy, but it's another thing if we're going to make something where it's really appealing. So the rest of the guitar was rather easy for us to do. The pickups was the most difficult part, so we really spent a lot of time on it. And in the end, what we decided is okay, the form factor, the pickup cover, that's got to be like a Jazzmaster pickup. The fibers, that's sort of like the top. If you lift off the plastic cover and you look at the raw pickup itself, there's kind of a fiber material on the top of the pickup. There's fiber material on the bottom of the pickup. And then the space between is that what you wind the coil around.
Right.
And we thought, okay, that dimension, that should be Jazzmaster. Let's not mess with that. So it really came down to what are we going to do for the magnet? What are we going to do for the wire? How many turns are we going to put on that? And it sort of narrowed down where we thought, okay, well, we're going to use a vintage wire on this thing. It's called Formvar. It's just a type of wire. It's basically the kind of coating, and it's a very vintage coating. And from there, it was, okay, how many turns of this coil do we put on? And that's where we agonized on it. We have, Dave, what do we have, like four raw prototypes?
We started with four mules. That a mule is just basically a body and neck that you start using for sampling mm-hmm. some of these pickups and doing the R&D required for it. But we started with 6,500 turns, which is a normal number of turns you'd have on a Jazzmaster pickup of that type from that era.
But with the magnetic field design technology, it was way too overbearing. It's sort of like you get much more horsepower per turn of wire with Leo's magnetic field design.
Right, right.
So after that, it was sort of uncharted. When we were taking wire off, and then we'd take more than enough off, and then we just kept toggling back and forth until we found, first of all, I think, was it the neck pickup we got
started,
first?
We started with both pickups having 6,500 turns. And
that was just too hot?
Way too hot.
Way too hot, mm-hmm. especially for the neck pickup.
Okay, so, and was there full frequency response, or was it too?
Yeah,
because usually when a pickup gets hot, like a, for example, like a super distortion, as they wound it more for output, you started losing the highs and the lows.
Yeah, it started getting mm-hmm. real muddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure we didn't have that. So we tamed it back down to about 6,300 turns, and we found that the bridge pickup at 6,500 turns was pretty nice. So we have 6,300 turns on the neck and 6,500 turns on the bridge pickup. And that's a pretty good combination.
Oh, wow.
It worked out well.
Now, is the pickup thicker than a standard Jazzmaster, or is it same? It's exactly
not
the same?
Not the width. In the construction of magnetic field design, the magnet is actually below
the
pickup. But if we look at the space of the top fiber and the bottom fiber and that space, that is
exactly the same.
Yeah,
that same
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not a thicker.
Yeah, because in part of it we thought, you know what, let's have this thing to be as sort of recognizable dimensions of Jazzmaster, so people could kind of get their head around. Okay, what have guys done here? So the more you change, the more trouble people have getting their heads around it. And so we wanted to be sort of as faithful as we could to a Jazzmaster type pickup, but applying the magnetic field design principle. So what we think is, we'd like to think anyway, is if Leo were doing this in his lab, which is, you know, in our place.
It's still there. I saw it.
If Leo were doing that, would he have come out with something like this? Would this have been where he would have been happy? And chances are he would have been turning pickups like we were, and he'd be turning to guys like us, hey, what do you think of this?
Right.
And we'd ping back and forth until eventually we found something. And we really like where this is. I mean, we almost settled where the neck and the bridge are the same, but we thought, well, let's just a little bit more, you know, a few hundred turns. It's not that much on the bridge pickup, but we agonized over it. I mean, we were spending weeks, and we had these four kind of raw body and neck, you know, just assembled.
Yeah, yeah.
Just we like, what do we call it? What'd you call it, Dave?
Mules.
And so we'd have all these pickups, and then we'd be A B this one, you know, and just kept going around and around until finally we thought, we can't get this any better. Where we were trying different amplifiers, we're trying different musical styles, and we figured, okay, where is this that the compromise, if you will, that makes us the most happy? And that's where we were. But we think Leo would appreciate the number of tests and the number of pickups we wind and the time we took to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd walk away one day with being really happy with one version, coming back the next day and it was just, whoa, wait, didn't we like this one last night? Yeah, I guess we did, but this one sounds better. So we went through several iterations of the pickup winds, to say the least. And
well,
we still have them there, so if you want to come by anytime.
And they've got all
I've seen the mules that Leo had, and he basically had like this like a board with a sliding rail where he could move the pickup both for bass and guitar, and then a guitar neck on it. And he would just move that pickup, and that's where originally where he found where he wanted each pickup.
Mark it with a pencil. And,
yeah. Well, before we go more into it, I want to bring on board a very good friend of mine, Ben Woods. Ben Woods is one of the few guys, and I had told these guys when I had first met with the two Davids, I mentioned this, Ben. I said, you're not going to believe this guy, because he's a great flamenco player. He's a great guitar player. He plays rock, everything. But I said, he plays flamenco on electric guitar, and he has an album out called Electric Flamenco. So I said, you have to hear this, because it takes the guitar in a totally different context. So, Ben, it's great to have you on the show.
Aw, shucks. Thank you so much. It's great to
and
be here.
And I just want to mention, too, he has a group with Luis Viega called Heavy Mellow, and they do flamenco versions of heavy metal tunes by Metallica and Judas Priest, cool. And it's amazing, and it's really cool. But he also has been touring with Steve Stevens, just to let you know. That's why we couldn't get him last time. He was in Europe. I think he was over in Europe. So anyway, Ben's going to play a little bit of a flamenco piece for us, and it'll show the clarity and just the tone of these pickups. Now, are you using both pickups right now?
I am. I'm going to use both pickups. I've got the treble turned about halfway on, mm-hmm. and bass all the way up, and volume all the way up.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool. Okay, so go ahead. I told you, you never heard anything like that before. It's amazing. That's just great.
Thanks, guys.
Now, just give us your reflections on playing this guitar.
Quite honestly, I've never played a bridge this smooth, that is a double action like this. Never something quite this smooth that stays in perfect tune after you use it. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Sparkles. Depth of tone, body, it's got all of that stuff. It's got to be the combination of the pickups and the wood and everything.
What is that wood, that body?
This is alder, isn't
it? It's alder.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful guitar. The neck, to me, feels mm-hmm. like a really comfortable Telecaster-type neck. And, you'll be lucky to get this, pry this out of my hands before I go.
Well, at first when I saw you grabbing the guitar and you were warming up, I go, I think you got the wrong guitar. It's got a dual fulcrum vibrato in it. He's a flamenco guy. He doesn't want the vibrato, but he starts playing it. I go, okay, he made the right choice.
He loves vibratos.
I just love it. Anyways, thanks so much for having
me
on the show.
Oh.
And thank you for letting me play these awesome guitars. This G&L Doheny is definitely got to be one on my list to get.
Yeah, that's a great. It's a great. Thank you so much. We're going to have the other more guitarists come in, but I thought you would like that.
I'm stunned.
You have to hear it. When you say electric flamenco, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, you have to hear it to understand what he's doing.
I mean, you see that smile on my face. If Leo Fender were here, he would have just as big a grin on his face.
I don't even think he ever thought that his guitars that would be played like that way. That's just, it's so unusual.
Well, thanks again.
And Ben, real quick, your website, so people know how to get a hold of you and check out what you're doing.
Oh, yes. I have all my projects and music videos and lots of stuff at SpanishGuitarPlayer.com.
And he has an album called Electric Flamenco. So check it out. It's a beautiful album. It's one of my favorites.
Thank you
so much.
I'll get the next one in.
And we're going to bring some more guitars. But while we're getting the other people in, I wanted to ask you about, let's talk about the bridge a little bit. In what way is that improved from the original Fender bridge? Because there obviously were major things that he tweaked on the G&L bridge that makes it, that makes it significantly improved. So if you can go into that a little bit, I want to talk a little about the bridge, and then the final thing, we'll get into the electronics.
Right. Okay, well, if we look at the early Fender vibrato, maybe we could field this in terms of, versus the early Stratocaster one.
Right.
Versus the Jazzmaster. Maybe, Dave, you want to have a run at that?
Well, when you're comparing the dual fulcrum vibrato to the traditional Jazzmaster tremolo system, right, it's a two-piece. You have a bridge that, it's not a floating bridge necessarily, but it pivots on two small pins that are set on these posts that go in deep into the body.
Right.
That was one of the shortcomings of that that bridge design, simply because it was rattling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, that's part of the sound that Jazzmaster fans love.
Mm-hmm.
They love that rattly. You lose a little bit of sustain because of the low break angle over the bridge. And then the vibrato system is really just meant to be a tremolo, more like a Bigsby style. We're just bending it for chords. It's not intended for dive bombing. Mm-hmm. All those things are corrected with the dual fulcrum vibrato, where you have a modern two-point pivot system, which is what the dual fulcrum vibrato has. It has the ability to go up and down. It doesn't have any other bridge that it relies on for sustain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easily adjustable by the traditional way that you would adjust it, a spring-string tensioned bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to interrupt for 1 second. There's a cable under the chair for JP. And Lisa, actually, why don't you bring in one of the other Dohenys? Because Lisa Carbet is coming in. She's known as the.
You want me to put this?
I can hold it if you want to.
And she's in Incendio. She plays bass a lot, but she's an accomplished guitarist. And who's in here right now that we brought in is Lisa Carbet and JP Durand from Incendio and Carbet Durand, and Janet Robin that was on my show a couple of weeks ago. And she's part of the String Revolution. That's one of her bands. And now I have, she's in the Marshall. So I have it set for high gain so you can really wail on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the master there. So what I'm going to have each person do is just try the different guitars and then give your comments on it. She's, let's see what we have here. JP and Lisa have the two. They have the two with the floating tremolo, and Janet has a stop tremolo. Anything that, real quick, David, on the one that Janet's using, what did he tweak on the fixed bridge?
I heard a whole story about the winding of the pickups.
Oh, yeah.
I know the whole
it's
secret.
It's all true.
I know the secret behind that story.
It's called trial and error, a lot of it.
But what was the what's with the the?
Okay, so this one's got what Leo Fender called the saddle lock bridge, and it's a hardtail bridge, non-tremolo. And this one has a couple of features that distinguish it from other kind of hardtail bridges. One, it has a like a kind of a foot on the bottom of it that fits into a route in the wood, and it sort of butts up against the end grain of the wood. I'll come back to that in a sec. Okay. The other part of it is a little set screw on the side. So once you set up your intonation and your height, you take this little set screw and you just twist it in, and it forces all the saddles together against the side of that bridge. You see how it's kind of like a little horseshoe that's got sides to it. So with the set screw engaged, the saddles are kind of mashed together against the side of it. So
it's actually quite comfortable, to be honest with you.
That's one of my favorite things about that bridge. It's super comfy. So the gist of the saddle lock is...
Lift your hand for a minute, I'm going to grab a shot.
Sure.
Of the there we go.
Oh, can I talk while you're taking pictures?
Yes, I don't mind me. I'm trying to shoot, so I guess
so you get your intonation, your saddle height set up, and then you engage this little set screw that locks the saddles together, so all the string energy that passes over the saddle doesn't get wasted in sort of side-to-side vibration of the saddle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's energy that's wasted. So Leo's idea was, if we can capture all of the energy going into the saddles and get it straight into the bridge plate, and then the foot on the bottom of the bridge takes all that energy and injects it into the end grain of the wood. Because the vibrations prefer to travel along the end, along with the grain of the wood, as opposed to, say, top through the back of it. That's going against the grain. So we thought, let's capture as much as we can of the string energy by locking those saddles together, inject all that energy in the bridge plate, and then stick it right into the end grain of the wood. Mm-hmm. That's now, why it's so has
so
such
it,
great
it doesn't. It, you don't load the strings from the back.
No.
Where do the strings go from the?
Right here,
it just goes through the back.
Okay, through
but
the back.
Not through the back of
not
the body.
Not through the back.
Right through the back of the bridge. Yeah.
Which I like better, because then you're not having more holes cut into the wood, which does actually affect the sound, in my opinion.
Yes. Now that's alder too.
No, that's Empress, actually.
Empress?
That's a Polonia. Very light.
Oh, Empress wood.
It's really light.
It's Charger Empress wood.
And a maple neck.
Is this a maple neck?
Right. Yes, it's maple.
This is awesome. This neck is great, I have to say.
Oh, that's our excellent. Vintage
go ahead and
gloss
try it.
Neck.
Try it.
Because my number one go-to is my Tele, as I was telling you. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I have to, you know, substitute with the Les Paul if I need that sound. But I like the Tele mostly because of the neck. And this actually kind of reminds me a little bit of a Tele neck.
Yeah, that's what Ben had said.
In the middle, you get this bigger sound. Kind of bluesy sounding. Really nice sound.
Very edgy.
Or just the back pickup. I bet depending on how I mess with it. I could get a sound with like that is like I was telling him a mixture of a Strat with a Tele and a smidgen of Les Paul in there, depending of course on the amp
and also the settings on it, because when you have the treble and the bass control that work on both, you get a lot more versatility out of it.
Treble.
And the two pickups together has that Tele type of feel to it. But there's a lot of tone in those pickups. I mean, you got a lot of highs.
The only thing for me, and maybe it's just me, because I've got small hands and, you know, small fingers, short fingers, is I probably would have normal-sized frets.
What do we have on that one?
These are jumbos.
That would be jumbos.
These are jumbos.
Those are almost like 6105s.
Yeah, I mean, there are more than jumbos to me. They're
really?
Bigger than jumbos.
But do you find easier to bend on them?
Not really. I mean, you can.
I like the fatter fretses for the bending.
I think they get in the way for me.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that.
I think they get in the way.
I agree.
That's just me.
Which is fine. That's why we also have, as an option on this guitar, we have like vintage style frets. So let's say you have like
that.
If you like you like old Fender frets,
that's probably
we have that too. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you can if you have that as an option, you just order it that way.
Bingo.
You just order it that way. Yeah. That you would like it.
Yeah. That's chunk when you're
yeah.
Yeah. And then I bet what's really nice is probably this. This piece. It's out of tune. Look. Nice.
Yeah,
sound.
There.
But yeah. Oh, thanks. These are like
well, while parts. She's tuning that, let's talk a little bit about that electronics, because that's a different setup than a standard. And everybody's looking at it as bass and treble, but it's not. It's a master tone control, right?
Yeah, master tone, and master treble, and master bass.
How does this thing work?
Oh, it is. Yeah. I thought there was like a blend or something you were talking about.
Oh, this?
There's,
this?
Yeah, there's a, yeah, hold on.
One's a treble roll-off,
like
one's a bass roll-off.
This thing.
Ah, okay, that's different than...
And the thing, one of the reasons why Leo Fender did that is when he developed the magnetic field design pickups, these tended to have such a broad frequency response that depending on the musical context, you'd actually want to turn down bass. Like, imagine if you had an old Stratocaster. Who would be turning down bass if there was such a thing then? You know? You kind of almost needed all you could get. But when you got this kind of power in the low end, if you wanted to get things to feel more chimey or feel more vintagey, you got to have a device to do that. So he came up with a pot that he liked, and so we're the guys with the weird pot to make it work.
I
just love that two pickups.
I would also have gold hardware.
I'm just saying, you know.
That's her take on Mary Kay.
Yeah.
It's a nice
We do white blonde with white pickup.
That's probably
and gold
really
hardware.
Nice. Yeah. That is cool. That's
we can call it a Missy Kay. As far as color or features?
As far as...
They're talking about...
This one's got the black blocking bass.
Yeah, that was...
Dual Fulcrum vibrato.
Same electronics.
Same electronics.
Yeah. So I'm curious about that vibrato bridge. And the tuning. How... I mean...
Go ahead. Wail on.
Without a locking...
Yeah.
Nut.
Look at the tape. Look at the posts of the tuners. Tapered. See how they're tapered?
Yeah.
That helps the string as it relaxes. Come back to where it was.
All Empress Wood?
No, this is Alder.
It's Alder.
No, to be honest with you, friends of mine that have Strats, when you set the bridge right, it'll stay in tune.
Really?
Yeah.
The only thing that messes it up is if your nut isn't set up for if it's
my nuts
binding.
Are always set up right.
if the string binds against it, I'm not going to touch that one.
Hey, you walked in.
Yeah, I walked into it. But if the string sometimes if the nut isn't give enough space for the string, it'll mess it up. And then, but now that I noticed I was always taught on the Strats to have it about a quarter inch up, so it's actually tilted a little bit.
You mean
that's
tilted
flat.
This way, right?
Where no, the
it's cocked up like this a little
it's
bit.
Just a little bit, like about a quarter of an inch. That's flat, right?
Yes, we and set our bridges flat.
Okay.
You can set them up that way too, but we found that with the neck body pitch that we have here, which is almost there's nothing there, maybe 1 degree.
Mm-hmm.
The flat bridge works better. It gives you a little bit, but if somebody wants a little bit more upwards bend on it, more than welcome to set it.
Oh, okay. Like no, I thought it was just a. It, they just said it floats better. The strap floated better at a little bit up, but that's I like it flat like that because you can palm it more.
Yes,
to
right. It's to easier to palm.
And then the bridge plate itself is as opposed to say like an old strap like six screw
right.
bridge. This bridge is floating on two very large hardened steel posts that are very carefully machined,
right.
And the posts themselves go into these big brass bushings. So Leo Fender, from the outset, he designed this thing to be able to bend, not just down, but bend up and do it very smoothly. I think that the smoothness is something that he really hit on.
No, I think so. Okay, JP, do you want to... Let's get your impressions. Or actually, you had Lisa plug in.
That one there is alder.
And I know what kind of tonally the difference, but why did you do one in alder and one in
Empress? Well, we use Empress for its lightness. It's very light. It's also very warm sounding. Very, very warm sounding on that guitar body there.
This is nice.
We also kind of want to bring a little bit of a variety show. You know,
yeah,
this
yeah,
variety
yeah,
of
yeah.
artists. So we thought, hey,
yeah,
let's bring a little variety so they're not all
the same. In ordering the guitar, what woods are available? Would you have ash? Would you have...
If you're going to order
routinely it's alder and ash is the most conventional ones in the menu.
Nice.
But then also someone can order mahogany if they want the, like our 80s magnetic field design pickup mm-hmm. with the mahogany kind of like that 86 Skyhawk.
I know.
Right.
For fun. We also have Ukume, and occasionally, when we can find it, we bring the Empress.
Yes.
Where's the Empress wood from? It's from China. Is it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
put the
mic. Just a little pump for Empress wood. The first time I played Michael Tobias basses, and he had Empress wood, and the reason I picked that, because it was so light, and I played a 5-string, it kills me, but it's so punchy. Ever since I started playing that with Empress wood, everybody loves it. I mean, it punches through. It's amazing. It's a great wood.
Yeah, well, that guitar that Janet's playing, that's punchy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not really showing it because I can't turn the amps up, but a nice good tube amp.
That sounds really cool when you dig it in. Finding some tones. This is cool.
Well, there.
Ah, that's okay. There you went to, yeah.
Wow.
And I just want to interject.
That's three different guitars right there.
Yeah. That's a good. That's. I mean, it has the tone.
Pretty cool. That's
but
pretty
I want to mention really impressive. Quick. This is kind of a reunion because Lisa and Janet both played and toured with Lindsey Buckingham. Janet played guitar and Lisa played bass.
No.
So they're kind of.
Lisa played guitar. I played guitar.
Oh, you played guitar on that?
Yeah, Lindsay had five guitar players.
Five guitar players.
Two women, two men, and him.
Oh,
that's not bad.
And then we had bass and.
Oh, okay. I thought you had bass.
I know.
But it's kind of a little bit of a reunion.
Yeah, we all play guitar, electrics and acoustics,
yeah.
Depending on what song.
Now, JP. What do you think?
No, he wasn't good enough.
it's just fast and reacts really beautifully. I mean, like Lizzo's playing fingerstyle stuff. Janet has a super like dead in the pocket rocking like really aggressive thing, and I'm doing almost a little more of a jazzy thing on this. It's really carrying beautifully, like just the sustain. And then we all have very different ways of playing, and they're translating all really beautifully on all of these guitars, which is really cool.
The tonal versatility of this guitar is amazing. I mean, it goes everywhere.
It's nice to have a guitar that has so many different
voices.
Yeah. For instance, if you are going to do a session and you have limited space in your car, perhaps you just bring this guitar. Yeah,
it's pretty versatile.
It would be something I would consider
as opposed to what I throw in my car right now, which is my Les Paul and my Tele. Granted, it's a Les Paul and it's a Tele.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's, you know what you're getting.
It's set that way. But if there's, you know, you don't have time or you're grabbing one of the drawer, I could see where this could
maybe you have three.
Work.
Have you guys already had
Yes.
Have you guys already had a big talk on the pickups? Because there is something, the notion of the original version of this pickup was very limited, and I know you guys have done some serious engineering to make this particular pickup really versatile and have it be a high fidelity version would happen, but not a P90 and not necessarily a single coil. Have you spoken to that a little bit?
Yeah, but this is a much cleaner, when you want it to be cleaner, it's much cleaner than a P90. P90 breaks up.
I mean, to be honest in this is something where when we started out, we didn't know if we were going to get to a destination that we liked. We just thought we're just going to keep going at it. Yeah, and then it was sort of, for us, it was a voyage of discovery. But then when we found like the wines that we liked and stuff, it was like, you know, when you kind of stumble onto something that's kind of like eureka. It's like, there's no way that just happened, you know?
Yeah.
Did you explain to people, since it's not on camera, that the body is a Jazzmaster
body? Style body? Yeah,
that was explained.
Yeah, they've seen it from the other show too.
Which also affects the tone as well.
Right, right.
When you've got more wood, you know. Yes. Like
now, real quick, I you've been noodling on the guitar, Lisa, for a little bit. What's your impressions? What are you're feeling? How do you like that neck?
Well, the neck feels great. I mean, because I normally play acoustic guitars, nylon strings, so I generally play a thicker neck. But this feels great. Like she was saying, of different sounds.
She has small hands too, but it seems like it's easy to play. We have a little bit of time left. Let's bring in the last group of guys in. And these guitars, I mean, you can just see the tonal versatility. I mean, there's just a lot of sound out of these guitars.
Just one other thing, that because she was picking, so I want to make sure people know that was picking.
Right.
Not with finger picking, because, you know, it's a pretty nice sound with just with no pick.
Yeah. And with that bridge, he's hand muting there too, so it's cool.
Yeah, with the saddle up bridge.
Yeah, it makes it even on the vibrato, you can still.
I've never seen a saddle like that. Impressive.
But anyway, so okay, now
thanks
we're almost
thinking about
out of
the
time.
Comfort nice, part because I'm a big
Thank
fan.
You.
Of Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for playing them.
You're welcome.
I'm really geeking out on that.
This is fun, Jeff.
I knew you.
This is cool.
I knew you'd have fun with these guys and the variety of styles. Now we're going to be bringing in. Let's bring in Prescott.
The guitar.
Prescott Nile. He's going to from the Knack. He's going to play bass, awesome. And we brought a G&L bass. I'm going to have Steve Pfister come in and. Tony Polizzi.
Become the rough boys.
So, yeah.
Oh.
We're the women.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, go ahead and set up your... There, come on in and play. You can either use the Marshall or the little boss. Tony?
Yes?
Tony?
What do you... Sure.
They got the Marshall dialed in pretty well there.
Yeah.
I'll take the Marshall.
Pooch, come on in real quick. Pooch is with the Condors.
There's the other one.
And he was here the last time. Briefly, I'm we're not going to have a time for everybody to play. How many amps do we have?
I'm all in here now.
Okay. Pooch, I just wanted to know what you thought. You've been playing the guitar in the other room for a while. Your ideas, your thoughts.
I think it's great. I think they play well all the way up the neck.
How does it compare to your G&L? You have a...
different? I mean, well, first off, mine's a semi-solid.
Okay, but so I mean in terms of the neck and stuff.
Yeah. This is... It's they're both really good. But this is really nice, just straight off. I mean, mine is made for me. You know, this is just one I've never played before. So it's really.
But it's real easy to play.
Yeah.
I knew Pooch liked it. Last time he liked it, and Steve Pfister's in the room, and he's usually a humbucker guy. But I don't know if I've never seen you play a Strat, Steve.
Well, Jeff, sit back. And here we go.
Okay.
And by the way, hey now. Okay.
And then also, too, Tony Polizzi is here, who's done a lot of session work. And is, what do you want the vibrato, or do you want the...
No, this is fine.
Okay.
How's it going?
Before, because I'm going to have everybody, they're going to do a blues and take us out. And I just wanted Tony to, his ideas. These guys have been playing the guitars in the back room for a little bit.
Hello, everybody.
Tony, what's wrong?
Just trying to get the... there we go.
Happy New Year.
I'm good.
Just your thoughts playing the guitar.
Right now, playing it right off the bat, I mean, I gravitate to maple necks right off the bat. And this, I mean, I have some Rosewoods, but I have maple neck. And right now, I feel like this is doing what it needs to. Good.
That's
low
a nice
action,
one.
And I can get around this neck right away.
You like the feel of that, the shape of the neck. And how do you like that? That's the Empress wood.
Yes.
So it's a light. How light, it feels? Light is it pretty light?
It is very light.
Yes, it's very cool.
And that one's got the saddle lock ridge.
Okay, yeah. And then before we take ourselves out, Steve, you've been noodling on all evening. Do you want to give Steve one of the vibrato ones?
This one.
You want that?
I started playing this one. It really has. First of all, aesthetically, the block inlays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And. You know, the big soap bar, sorry, you know, it's not the right note.
Quite all right.
But I'll tell you what, it's really, really solid. The neck has a really nice profile that's, you know, it's not too big, and there's enough, you know, you can bend some notes.
You know, and he's not even cranked up, but listen to the sustain.
See what I'm saying? It's got the Hey, let me see if I'm in tune in the first. Perfect.
There you go. Okay, well,
I gotta remember that one. That's a good one.
I want everybody.
John Cage.
Do you want some gain on that? Did you get the gain sound on the Marshall?
Yeah. Watch the master so it doesn't go through the roof. But hit the low button.
Yeah, just press it.
I want to thank Dave McLaren and David Brown for coming down. It's www.glguitars.com and check this guitar out. They'll be featuring it at NAMM. And I want to thank everybody that's been on the show tonight. Janet, Prescott, JP, Lisa, Tony, Steve, Ben, and Pat, and Tabitha, too. I think it's just been a great show.
Basses, too, you know.
Yeah, and you're playing one. What year is it?
We don't get much love. You
that know. One, we brought our 1980 L1000. That's not a reissue. That's an original 1980. We just picked it up like a couple months ago, something like that, Dave.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's mine's
some guy in San
Ebony.
Diego.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take ourselves out, do a blues thing. What key, guys?
Prescott, what do you think?
Why not?
Kick it off.
Everybody have a great night. We're going to take it out.